Like to turn tonight to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. We'll read verse 12 through verse 1 of chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, begin reading with verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard, pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Again, in Song of Solomon, we see a bridegroom, Jesus Christ, a bride, kind of church that Jesus established during his earthly ministry. And we see these two, Christ and his church, this bridegroom and this bride, we are seen throughout the book speaking to one another, speaking of one another. From the verses that we have just read, the bridegroom does the bulk of the speaking. He commends her by using eight images or likenesses. In verse 12, he refers to her as a garden enclosed. Secondly, has his sister. Thirdly, has his spouse. Fourthly, a spring shut up. Fifthly, a fountain sealed. Verse 15, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. In this message, we want to center our thoughts upon the words, a garden enclosed. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the Lord's garden, the Lord's garden. The Lord's church, I believe, is the Lord's garden. Each and every local New Testament Baptist church, each and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in their locality is a garden. Paul used the image of a garden in referring to the Lord's church at Corinth when he said there in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, ye are God's husbandry, ye, referring to the church of Corinth. Ye are God's husbandry. And again, each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a garden. In our text, verse 16, we see my garden. Chapter 5, verse 1, again we see my garden. When the bride speaks, she says in verse 16, let my beloved come into his garden. The very fact that it is his garden makes it peculiar, makes it very, very precious, makes it very precious, special. Home Baptist Church is the Lord's garden. It is a garden of the Lord. A Christ churches, like a garden, occupies a chosen place. The place for a garden. When you see a garden, that place has been selected and chosen by somebody. They have a garden there. When you see a garden, you can be sure that someone, for his or her own reasons, has selected that particular place for a garden. You may say, well, I wouldn't have planted a garden there. But it doesn't matter what you say. That is the place they selected for a garden. And many times people will say that about the Lord's churches. Well, I wouldn't have put a church there. Well, it's not up to you. He has a reason for placing his churches wherever he places them. The Lord's churches are his gardens, and again, he has his own reasons. He has his own chosen places for those gardens. Gardens are not accidents. Neither are the Lord's churches. Secondly, churches, Christ's churches, like a garden, are separate and distinct from everything that's around it. A garden is a piece of land that has been marked in some way, has separate from the surrounding land. And it has been made and it is kept distinctly different from the land that surrounds it. As you notice a garden, you look at a garden, it is noticeably different than the land around it. It's different. It's not the same. There is a sharp contrast between the garden and that which surrounds it. All that surrounds it might be a wilderness. All that surrounds it might be a wasteland. Cement may surround it. But you can see that there is a difference between the garden and that which surrounds it. And though a garden, in a sense, certainly is connected with the surrounding land, yet it is not of it. It's been separated. It's been set apart. Likewise with the Lord's churches, ecclesias, called out assemblies, called out assemblies. That is, they're different. They're different from the surrounding land. They are in the world, but they're different. They are not of the world. And just as a garden is altogether different from the surrounding land, so the Lord's churches are to be altogether different from everything that surrounds it. Thirdly, Christ's churches, like a garden, are small in comparison to the surrounding area. The saved upon earth at any given time are a small number in comparison with the unsaved. And from that small number of the saved, we read in 1 Corinthians 12:28, God hath set some. So he takes a small number, and from that number, God has set some, not all, in the church. So the church as the Lord's garden is very small, comparatively speaking, even to the saved. The saved are small in number. But even smaller in number is this garden that the Lord has planted. Comparatively speaking, it is very small to the religious world. Christ's churches, like a garden, are designed for a special and peculiar and specific purpose. When a person lays out and plans a garden plot, he has a specific purpose in mind for that garden. He or she knows exactly why they have selected the place that they have selected. They give some thought to, where will I place my garden? Then there is a plan for that garden. There is a purpose for that garden. And the Lord has a place. The Lord has a plan. And the Lord has a purpose for each and every one of His churches. His purpose, you may decide, well, I'm going to grow a garden for 3 years and then I'm not going to have one anymore for whatever reason. That's also true of the Lord's churches. People sometimes get it in their minds that if a church is not here when the Lord comes, it's because they've been unfaithful. That's not necessarily true. Perhaps that the Lord only wanted a church in a specific area for 1 year. Perhaps only 2 years. Perhaps 10, 15. But the Lord has a place. And the Lord has a purpose. So Jesus has called us out of the world, has a church, for a definite purpose. And in a definite place. God's will ought to be sought. For where a church should be established, I believe it's important that a church be established where the Lord wants it. And we don't need to get caught up in, well, real estate's expensive in that area. That has nothing to do with anything. Where does the Lord want it? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Well, the community next to this community is a nicer community. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, where does the Lord want it? So place is very important. Christ's churches, like a garden, are prepared places. A garden has, the ground has been dug, the ground has been purged. It's well prepared. Whenever you see a garden, you know that someone gives it more care than they do the surrounding land. They give it a special care. They give it special attention. That is also true of the Lord's churches. The Lord's churches are objects of His special care. They are objects of His attention. We also see that Christ's churches, like a garden, consist of chosen plants. You do not have a garden for the production of things that naturally grow. You don't have a garden to grow weeds. That's not the purpose of a garden. You do not have a garden for things that just spring up of themselves. But the plantings are carefully chosen. Has to variety, and has the kind. Likewise, we read in 1 Corinthians 12:18, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. He plants, and He plants what He wants to plant. You say, well, I would grow more onions. It doesn't matter. That person chose to grow the amount they wanted. Oh, I would have put them over here. It doesn't matter. The Lord sets the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases Him. So each of the Lord's churches are a garden of His, and the Lord does not have a garden for the production of weeds. He does not have a garden for the production of briars. He does not have a garden for the production of worthless plants. A man plants the kind of seed in a garden that will produce whatever fruit, whatever vegetables, whatever plants that he wants. And so it is with the Lord. As a rule, when one plants a garden, he usually has a variety of plants. Usually, you don't plant a garden and just have onions or potatoes. As a rule, there's usually a variety of plants. So it is with the Lord's churches. You know, pastors will say every now and then, I'll hear them say, well, I could use a whole church full of brother so-and-sos or sister so-and-sos. That wouldn't work. Because like a garden, there's to be variety. There's to be variety. Notice the plants here in verse 13 and 14. And you see that there is a variety. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. And then there are pleasant fruits. And then there's camphor. Then there's spikenard. There's saffron. There's calamus. There's cinnamon. There are trees, all different sizes, all different shapes. There are trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes. And then there are the chief spices. But as you look at this garden, there is a variety of kind. There is a variety of appearance. They don't all look alike. They look different. Even some of the same plants. They're not exactly the same. There's a variety in their appearance. There's a variety in their stature. Some are tall, some are short. This is true spiritually. In the Lord's churches, there is a variety, not only of kind and appearance, but there is a variety of spiritual stature. There is also a variety of growth. Some plants grow faster than others. But there is a variety of growth. As you look at these plants, there is a variety of pleasantness. Some give off a sweeter smell than others. Some you take more delight in than others. I believe that's the same with the Lord's churches. There is a variety of growth. There is a variety of spiritual stature. And yes, there's even a variety of pleasantness. You say, well, you ought to treat everybody the same. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You don't do that. There is a variety of uses. Of all these things listed here in verses 13 and 14, they don't all have the same uses. They don't all have the same benefits. There's a variety of uses. There's a variety of benefits. In the Lord's churches, 1 Corinthians 12 makes it very plain, verses 4 through 11. We're not going to go there to save time. But there is one Holy Spirit that administers the affairs of Christ throughout His church. Howbeit, though there be one Spirit, we read there in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, He gives a variety of gifts and exercises His administrations through a variety of channels. He said there in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There is variety. Well, I wish everybody was like me. No, you don't. Hopefully you don't have that high of opinion of yourself. And a garden is to have variety. And the Lord's churches are to have variety. And God, there is, when you look at a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the variety that God puts in a church is amazing. Only He can do it. If you and I were to put it together, it would be far, far different. And it wouldn't work either. But He takes all of these different personalities and He blends them together into a very pleasant garden. A very fruitful, a very productive, a very useful garden. Christ's churches, like a garden, are protected. We read in verse 12 again, it is a garden enclosed. It is a garden enclosed. Well, I think we ought to just allow anybody to come into church. You don't even do that in your own garden. You're going to let every wild animal come into your garden? I don't think so. You're going to take measures to protect your garden. We're talking about something far more important than a garden in our backyard. It is a garden enclosed. This speaks of the fact that when you have a garden, you take some measures to protect your garden. You take some measures to keep out certain things, certain bugs, certain animals. You take measures to keep them out. Because if you don't keep them out, they'll do what? They'll destroy your garden. So a man may fence his garden. That's what the Lord does with His churches. Because the Lord's churches have enemies that will destroy the garden. So the Lord has put measures in place to protect His garden. The Lord encloses His churches for distinction's sake also. Not just for protection, but you do it for distinction's sake. It is distinct from the rest of the land. And God in His infinite wisdom, and God in His infinite mercy, has provided protection for His churches. They are protected by the resources and powers of God. Matthew 16, verse 18. They are protected by the Word of God. The Word of God is a fence to protect the garden. They are protected by the ordinances. That's why it's important to keep the ordinances as delivered, because they are there for protection. They are there for distinction. You change the ordinance of baptism, you have opened the floodgates for anything to come into your garden or the Lord's garden. Baptism provides a protection, provides distinction. The devil, of course, has tried every conceivable way through the ages to destroy the Lord's churches, to destroy the Lord's garden. He does it from without, but he usually does it from within. But because the Lord has enclosed his churches, she has been kept. She has been kept through the dark ages. She has stood the test. And though she has been slandered, and though she has been ridiculed, and her robes have been stained with martyr's blood, over 2,000 years later, she still lives. She still marches on. She has been kept from the enemy for over 2,000 years. The Lord encloses his churches. Same reason you enclose your garden. Same reason you protect your garden. Same reason you keep certain things out of your garden, so that you can use your garden. If you let the deer and the raccoons and everything else eat your whole garden, you have no use. And the Lord protects his garden so he can use it. So he can use it how he wants to use it. For his honor. For his glory. Christ's church is like a garden. Involves cost. In labor. To keep a garden in order requires that certain things be kept out, certain things be put out. The plants must be taken care of, watered, pruned, fed. The ground dunged, and the fences or the borders kept up. Christ's churches are no different. Christ's churches, like a garden, require some weeding. But weeding requires wisdom. It really does. And you go out and you tell a 5 or 6 year old, go out in the garden and pick all the weeds. You're asking for trouble. Well, the weeds need to be gotten out. Yes, that may be so. But it requires some wisdom to remove the weeds. You have to be careful. You can't get overzealous and so zealous in removing the weeds that you destroy the garden. And it happens. It happens in the Lord's churches. Well, we got to keep all the weeds out. No, you really don't. You really don't. And if you go to remove all the weeds, you better be careful. You may hurt some plants. Well, they're just plants. That may be so, in a garden in the backyard. But we're talking about the Lord's garden. We're talking about the Lord's plants. Better be careful. Matthew chapter 13. We referred to this in the past. Matthew 13, we see the parable of the kingdom of heaven. It's likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field, verse 24. While he slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. And the enemy just went his way. As the garden grew, brought forth fruit, and there they were, the tares. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? How did these tares get here? Tares will always be in the Lord's churches. Always. They'll always be there. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? We got to get rid of all these tares. But he said, nay. Lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. That doesn't mean, because I know how people think, well, you're saying that we ought never get rid of the tares. That's not what it said. It said you ought to exercise care. You ought to exercise some wisdom. The husbandman answered in verse 30, let both grow together. We got to get rid of these. Let both grow together until. Now I can just stop right there. He says until the harvest, and basically the Lord take care of it. And that's true. But you can just stop, let both grow together until. Until what? Until the Lord tells you to go remove the tares. And when the Lord says, you got these tares, you got some here, you got some here, and you got some here. Now there's some over there too, but you leave those alone. But I want you to take care of this one, and this one. Then you need to take care of the tares. But you don't just go on a mission to remove all the tares, because you'll tear up the garden. And it happens. It happens all the time. Oh, how cautious we need to be when we're walking through the Lord's garden. When we're working in the Lord's garden. These are special plants. Be careful. Be careful that you don't trample on a plant that the Lord has planted. So, a garden involves cost, involves some labor. But both require wisdom. Both require wisdom. I listen to some preachers give advice to others. You need to discipline them all. Well, that's easy to say about someone else's garden. Well, if I was you, well, one thing, you're not me. Number two, the Lord didn't make any pastor the sheriff over all the other gardens. You wait until the Lord says, until. And then you move. Then you act. Until then, you just work in the garden. But it requires cost, it requires labor, which requires wisdom. Christ's church is like a garden, has certain needs. The soil has certain needs. Not every garden has the same needs at the same time. But every garden has needs. The plants have certain needs that are imperative for their health, imperative for their productivity. Notice, if I ever find my way back to Song of Solomon 4, notice verse 16. Now I believe, and I'm not going to argue with about anybody, but I believe this part that we're going to read, the bridegroom is still speaking. And he says, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden. Wind throughout the scriptures refers to the Holy Spirit. There is a need for the Holy Spirit to move through the garden. It doesn't always move in the same way. Sometimes it's like a cold blast from the north. At other times it might be a soothing wind. But every garden of the Lord requires the moving of the Spirit of God in that garden. You and I cannot produce the wind. We just have to pray for it and wait for it. Every garden needs, as a church, needs the Spirit of God to fill it. Sometimes, you know, churches are like people. They go through different phases. They go through different seasons. They don't always have the exact same needs. And churches are that way. Sometimes we need the Spirit of God to just blast through His garden. Sometimes we need the Spirit of God to move in a very comforting way through the garden. We need the Spirit of God in this garden. And then notice what He says, that the spices thereof may flow. That the spices thereof may give off their fragrance. That's not what he says. That the spices thereof may flow out of the garden where others are affected. We need the moving of the Spirit of God. Christ's church is like a garden. Are places of expected harvest. When someone plants a garden, they expect a harvest. No sense planting a garden if you don't expect. If you don't desire a harvest. And when you do it all right, you have expectations. You go out to your garden and you expect to see certain things. The Lord has expectations of His churches. And His expectation is that the spices may flow out. So the Lord's churches are gardens. Very important, very special gardens. I want to notice quickly the desire of the church. Verse 16, I believe the bride speaks. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let my beloved, she has a love for him. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to have a love for the Lord. She also has a desire that he would come into his garden. She desires his presence. We ought to pray earnestly. Every time we assemble together, it ought to be our earnest prayer that the Lord would come into his garden. And then we ought to do that which is conducive to the Lord coming into his garden. We put up certain walls to keep certain things out. Be careful that you don't put up any walls that might keep the Lord out. Our prayer is that he would come into his garden. And then notice, and eat or partake his pleasant fruits. That tells me she desires to be pleasing to him. She desires that he would come into his garden and that he would find it to be a place of pleasantness. A place where he can eat his pleasant fruits. Then notice the opportunity of the Lord's churches. Verse 1 of chapter 5. She has prayed, let my beloved come into his garden. He then says, I am come. The prayer has been answered. I am come into my garden. My sister, my spouse. Why does we see it throughout Song of Solomon? He refers to her as a sister, refers to her as a spouse. Sister speaks of the same nature. A spouse speaks of a special kind of love. She is of the same nature as he, and he has a special kind of love for her. He says, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat. Eat. Oh, friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved. I am come into my garden. Every time that happens, we have opportunity. Every time the Lord says, I've come into my garden, all the opportunity that provides you and I. And then he says, oh friends, drink. That's opportunity. Yea, drink abundantly, oh beloved. And then lastly, not only is there an opportunity for the Lord's churches, when we assemble together, we have the opportunity of meeting the Lord. We have the opportunity of meeting with the Lord. And don't you love when he comes into his garden. Oh, that he would come into his garden and just kind of stroll through each aisle of pews. Just walk through each one. I am come into my garden. And he comes to each one and he says, drink. Eat. Drink and eat abundantly. I am come into my garden. That's an opportunity that we have. But I believe also there's a danger. The Lord comes into his garden. We may even pray that he would come into the garden. But when he comes, we're indifferent. We're not ready. That's a danger. We see it in verse 2. We see it throughout chapter 5, but we're not going to take all that time. But verse 2, she says, keep in mind, he's come into his garden. I sleep, but my heart waketh. I sleep, but something stirs me, something awakes me, but I'm not fully awake. That describes the condition of many. They're awake, but not really. I sleep, but my heart waketh. What is it that awoke her? It is the voice of my beloved. I hear his voice. And oh, how wonderful it is when the Lord comes into his garden and he speaks. It is the voice of my beloved. He's knocking. He's knocking. Saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Husbands, use those words. My love, my dove, my undefiled. You can say those to your wife. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. She says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've already gotten in bed. I don't want to get up again. I have washed my feet. Dirt floors. I don't want to get up and defile them. Oh, I know he's at the door. But it's just not a convenient time. And as you read on, he departed. She then got up. Went out into the streets. It was not necessary to do that had she opened the door. Had she properly responded, it would not have been necessary for her to go out into the streets. And when she went out into the streets, she was beaten. She was persecuted. She could have avoided all of that had she just opened the door. He comes into his garden. And we're indifferent. We don't have time. It's an inconvenient time. This is what the Lord was talking about when he wrote to the Laodiceans, the church of Laodicea. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, he said, behold, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to a little child about salvation. Talking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. He's talking about fellowship. Talking about fellowship with his church. It is theologically erroneous and blasphemous to use that scripture as a call to salvation. It's blasphemy. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about fellowshipping with his church. I am come into my garden. How wonderful. That would be so. Every time we meet the Lord shows up. The Lord shows up in such a way that he's recognized. We don't want the Lord to show up in such a way that no one recognizes him, that no one acknowledges him. But we want him to show up in such a way that you can't help but notice him. I'm coming to my garden. And let me tell you something, when the Lord comes into his garden, you're not worried about going home. That doesn't even cross your mind. Boy, it's getting late. I got to get up early. Let me tell you, the Lord comes into his garden, it doesn't matter. That ought to be our desire all the time. It ought to be our prayer, just as hers, that he would come into his garden. And you and I need to realize that the Lord's churches are gardens. They're the gardens of the Lord. They're not all the same size. They don't all have the same plants. They don't even all look the same. But they do have very similar characteristics. That would be another message. But we are a garden of the Lord. Don't abuse the garden. Many pastor has been guilty of destroying a garden. It's happened many times. I don't want to ever destroy one of the Lord's gardens. I don't even want to do it any harm. We need to be careful as we walk in the garden. You say, well, I believe that might be a weed there. It might be. It might be. What do you think we ought to do about it? Remember, until when the Lord says, go pull that weed, we'll go pull that weed. And even when he says that, you do it carefully. Because it might be real close to a plant. And you don't want to destroy that plant. You don't want to harm. You don't want to abuse that plant. What a blessing to be a plant planted by God in his garden. I ask you tonight, as I asked you a couple weeks ago, are you sure? Have you been planted by God in this garden? If so, you ought to rejoice all the way home. I am a plant in one of the Lord's gardens. What a blessing. What a privilege. Oh, how we ought to thank God for his gardens. They're all over the place. There's more of them than we think. There are gardens that you and I, the Lord has gardens you and I don't know exist. But they're there. Some of them may only have 4 or 5 plants in them. But they're there. They're there. Some of them may be way back in hills somewhere. but they're there. And I am so glad that this isn't the only garden of the Lord. Don't ever get of the mindset, well, we're the only ones. No, you're not. The Lord has His gardens. And I'm thankful that it's so. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verses.